What a wonderful day we have. Good to be with you this morning. As Brother I.B. mentioned a moment ago, I do have a lot of memories of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Now, if I were to tell you, I can still remember the old wooden building that stood out there. You'd say, well, you're an old man. Well, that was not just yesterday, but I remember that building quite well. We had a lot of good times in there. I can remember the singing and the Amen Corner and the Christmas programs and everything else that went along with it. And then I was a part of the building program for the first church that was built over here. Helped haul that sand and all, and helped with some of the carpentry work, and just had the opportunity to be of service to the Lord. Now, a lot of things have happened. I did have the opportunity to serve at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church in a lot of different ways during my years growing up. This was home for all of those childhood days, and for a lot of those days, even after I was grown and got married. I did accept the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 15 years old. Now, the story behind that is just simply, we were going to Pleasant Hill at that time. Mom and Dad always had us in church. But as things happened, it turned out that my dad and the preacher at Pleasant Hill at that particular time, they were not on the very best of terms. So even though I felt conviction and I knew that I ought to give my heart to the Lord, I resisted. I did not know what might happen and how my dad might feel when I got home if I walked that aisle and took that preacher by the hand and made a profession of faith. So I stood in that back, and I'd hold on to that pew till my knuckles would turn white, and I dared not look up at him under such great conviction. I knew what I needed to do, but I just would not yield to it. So finally one day I was at Bristol Baptist. They were having a revival. I was with my sweet wife over there. She was not my wife at that time, but we were certainly dating. And after that message that night, it was just like the Lord spoke to me, and he said, now, Jack, you're not at Pleasant Hill tonight, and that's not the preacher, and your dad's not here. What excuse are you going to offer me tonight? And I said, Lord, I don't have one. And I literally pushed her out into the aisle because she was sitting at the end, and I was over next to her. And I literally pushed her out of the way to get out to come to the Lord. I finally gave my heart to the Lord. But then I did come back to Pleasant Hill, united with the church, was baptized in Pleasant Hill, and grew up learning about the way of the Lord. So it's been a long time. It's been a long journey. In May of 1979, we preached our very first message. And I made a promise to God then. I said, Lord, you just give me a place to preach and an opportunity to say a word, and I will do my best to be faithful to it. And God has kept me at the realm ever since. It's always been something to do. We've pastored three churches, Yeoman's Chapel, then Walkerville, and finally Marshawn. We don't have a church right now, but the Lord has still been keeping us busy. So there is work to be done. I'd like to say I appreciated those two specials that the quartet and Brother Ray sang. You know, those go right along with the message this morning and all. If I was picking out a song, I don't think I could have picked one any better than that. And Brother Marshall did about homecoming. Well, this is homecoming at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church today. And I know that you're looking forward to a great time. So I do appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Going to be this morning in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Now, if you have a little problem finding that book, you know where Psalms is. Psalms are right about the middle of the book. You find the beginning of Psalms and flip back to the third book before that, and you'll be right in the midst of Nehemiah, okay? Nehemiah chapter 8. It's a very good book. There's a lot that we can learn from this book. Now, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Would you agree with that? Amen. We all need strength. I need strength. I really needed strength when Brother I.B. handed me this thing to put on my ear to where people could hear me this morning. Well, that, I'm kind of used to that. But then he said, we're going to video you. And I said, what? Hey. Now, if you can turn the video off if you want to, that'd be fine with me. I'm not that good looking anyway. Get I.B. back up here and take a picture of him and just listen to the words. But anyway, he like scared me to death when he said, "We're going to give you a double dose this morning." So here we go, okay? And I hope God blesses the word today, that we listen to it. And a lot of things about this passage of Scripture fits right in with where we are today. It took place literally in the month that we know of October. That would have been the time of the year back when all of this took place. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, in verse 1, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Padiah, and Messiah, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadadah, Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, "Amen, amen," as lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Joshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shebathiah, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalidah, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshathah, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. So there it is, the passage that comes to us. They would go to the Lord in prayer at this time, okay? Merciful God in heaven, Lord, again we do thank you for such a beautiful day. You are the creator of all things. You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the great I am, the one who spoke to Moses, the one who spoke to Ezra, the one who spoke to Nehemiah, the one who spoke to David and Daniel and all of these men of old. Father, you're the one who blessed this world with your Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." Lord, you made the way. Truly yours is the only way that leadeth unto life everlasting. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that if there's one in our midst today that knows you not in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins, may that sweet Holy Spirit speak to them today. May they understand, may they realize the condition they're in, and may they come seeking your will, your way, before it's everlasting too late. We don't have the promise of tomorrow, we only have today. But may this day be a great day here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Bless all this people together. May we rejoice. May we be as one man in one body, one mind, and one spirit. And truly, Lord, may thy will be done here on earth even as it is in heaven. For it's in thy name I do ask and pray. Amen. All right, fully understand where the people of God are at this particular time. You have to realize that they had just come out of captivity. They had spent that 70 years in bondage down in Babylon. Now, you notice the point number one is the assembly. Now, the assembly tells us in verse 1 about how all the people came together as one man. That tells me they were united. No big I's and no little U's. They were all the same. They were just all glad to be together, each and every one. And it mentioned three or four times in here the men and the women and all those who could understand. So it was not just an elite group. It was not just special ones. But this was for all who came together in the name of the Lord. Now, the captivity that they had undergone, it had lasted, and now God had set them free for that. But now, Nehemiah, before that, you know, you go back and you see in the very first part of Nehemiah where he had heard that the walls of the city of Jerusalem, they had been destroyed. They had been torn down. The gates had been burned with fire. And Nehemiah just wept when he heard of this. Jerusalem was a very special place. In Jeremiah chapter 51, I believe it's verse 10, it says, "Look to your Jerusalem." Now I looked at that passage of Scripture and I say, Lord, what are you trying to tell us when it says, "Look to your Jerusalem"? Well, we need to be mindful. This is your church. This is Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. We all remember what Pleasant Hill has always stood for. We ought to remember those people who made it a reality. Those people, like that history that was shared a few minutes ago, the forefathers, the very roots of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Over the past several days, I thought about, and as I look out on the congregation this morning, there's a lot of faces I used to see when I came to Pleasant Hill Church. I don't see them this morning. Brother Marshall sang that homecoming song. They're enjoying homecoming in heaven. So they're in a far better place than we are. So we don't remember all the people. And some of you, you don't know anything about me. Excuse me. So maybe we'll get to understand each other better before the day is out. Now I know the assembling together in Pleasant Hill and all it has undertaken over the years. And everything has not been good. There's been the ups and there's been the downs. There's been the times when everything was going good and there were the times when everything seemed to be going wrong at Pleasant Hill. But the people stood behind their church. They looked to their Jerusalem and they were proud of it. So I want you to continue to look to your Jerusalem, your church, and remember what God has blessed you with. And it's good when you come out here and you see people that you never thought you'd see them doing a job or singing a special or taking part in the service, offering up a prayer, whatever it may be. You never thought that you'd have that opportunity to see that individual stand for the Lord and make a proclamation. But I've witnessed that in the last few months. I've seen things happening out here from people that I thought I would never see. So it is encouraging. Pleasant Hill is going forward, and you be a part of that movement, okay? So all the assembly gathered together as one man. They came together. And they came together to hear the word of the Lord. Now, when I mentioned about Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls and all, he had this desire to go back and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So he goes back. And I want you to notice one thing, too, in particular. Now, when it says all of these people gathered together as one man, now, these are the same people that labored in rebuilding the walls. They didn't bring in special forces to rebuild the walls and to do the work of rebuilding Jerusalem. These were the same people who did that work. These are the same people when it got to where there was opposition to the building of the wall, when they had to work with one hand and hold a weapon with the other hand. These are those same people. But they loved the Lord, and they had a desire. So they had been working. I mentioned about the work in the church. And this is where we may be today. I know you've just gone through a week of revival, a good week of services. Many of you labored and you toiled, and you may be tired. You may be exhausted. The ladies who did all that cooking today. Now, I didn't get to do all that much cooking. The wife brought what we had fixed for today. But some of you ladies, I know you fixed. I'm sure there's going to be some chicken and rice, chicken and dumplings. You know, there's going to be all kind of things spread on that table in just a few minutes when we go out to eat. But first, let's feast upon the Word of God. And I want you to hear it plainly, distinctly. I'm not a special man. I don't have these flowery words. You get right down to where people are. Now, if we're talking third grade level, then you get down third grade level with them, and that's where you can understand them. So, wherever people are, we need to be able to communicate with them as they are. So, Ezra the scribe, when he spoke the word, he spoke it plainly, distinctly, and the people knew that it was God's word. So, when they asked, bring the book, they didn't say bring Sears Roebuck, we want to order something. And they didn't say bring Sports Illustrated because we want to see who's going to play in the Super Bowl. They didn't bring Harlequin Romance because they wanted to see what the newest novel might be about. They said bring the book of the law, God's word. God's word, the inspired word of God. And it was given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy said that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So the more you study God's word, the more your appetite for God's word grows, the more you want to learn. Now, there's some things, probably some things on that table I mentioned a moment ago. Years ago, I wouldn't have cared a whole lot about. But you develop an appetite for what you eat. Is that all right? Give me an amen on it. You develop an appetite for it. Some things, first time I eat it, I think, yeah, don't want any more of that. But then you come back and you try it again. And pretty soon you can't get enough of it. You can tell, I get enough of it. So the Word of God, may you develop an appetite where you want to know more and more about God's holy word. So all the people, as one man, entered the street that was before the water gate, and they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now, this is God's love letter to us. This is God's book of instruction. This is what God tells us, how he wants us to live our life. The things that are pleasing, the things that are not pleasing. And it is the law of the Lord. Now, when the preacher stands up here and tells you, says, thou shalt not, and he reads it straight from God's word, don't get mad with the preacher. That's God's word saying that. Preacher didn't come up with that idea. That's God's word telling us that we should do that. So these people now, in the month of October, which is October right now, they are beginning a journey. And most of them, they don't understand where that journey is going to take them. But they're going to be pleasantly surprised at the end of their journey. They're going to find out that their walk with the Lord has suddenly increased. They have grown closer to the Lord. They have got back in fellowship with the Lord. Their appetite has grown, and God has fed them. See, God knows everything about us, and God knows what we need. God knows everything about me, and God knows everything about you. So God has a way of providing the little nuggets that we need to achieve and to pick up along life's pathway. So may the Lord bless the assembly together this morning, and may God give us the appetite. And then it says, Ezra the scribe brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read therein from the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Boy, howdy. You read that. Now, listen, Jack didn't say that. Now, did we meet out here at daybreak this morning? Was any of you here at the crack of daylight this morning? Well, these people gathered at the break of day. And at 12 o'clock, they were still in service to the Lord. We have people today, they can't afford to give God the time God deserves. I did have a deacon one time. He told me several times. He would cut me to the bone. He said, "Now, Jack, up to 12 o'clock, you on the Lord's time. You can say what you want to say. But I want you to know 12:01, you're getting on my time, and I appreciate you getting off." Now, I never could understand that. But that man get upset with me. He'd tell me about it. If I went 3 minutes over 12, he'd let me know, "You got three minutes of my time." We ought not to be that way. When we come into the house of the Lord, you know, God may be just beginning to work. When we want to say, "Amen, let's go home." But if God is just beginning to work, we ought to be patient to wait upon Him. These people stood there from break of day to midday. And say, "Boy, they got all they wanted. They filled their app." No, they didn't. You read on further. They came back the next day. They came back the next week. The same thing every day. They couldn't get enough of God's word. And sometimes we seem like we can't get little of it. But God's word, we should hold dear to it. So, from morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive. Did you notice? Attentive unto the book of the law. Now, I know in every service we have, there seem like there's always some people, and the joke we've always heard all our life about the man who went to sleep. And they say, "Well, Pastor, wake him up." Well, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. So, and I know, and we have people, I take medication. Everybody, most all people here this morning, especially our elderly, we take some medication. And sometimes that medication, it'll just make your eyes so heavy, you can't hardly hold them open. Now, that's one thing. But when people get to where it's a habit when they come into the house of the Lord, that's nap time. That's a good time just to take a little nap. These people were attentive to the Word of God. They were listening because God had something to say, and they wanted to hear what God was about to tell them. But so many people, it's like water off a duck's back. Just a few weeks ago, I heard of a church in revival, and during that service, the evangelist just stopped the preaching, and he got on some people in the back because they were chitter-chattering. He said, "Now, if what you got to say is more important than what I got to say, then you come up forward and you tell everybody what you want to say." That put a stop to it. Yeah, they didn't have anything else to say after that. But that actually happened, and it was a church right here close by. So, attentive. But so many times, people don't pay attention. Have you ever noticed that when you're reading God's Word sometimes, you've read a passage of Scripture time and time and time again. And then someone else gets up and they read that Scripture and they make a comment about it. And they say, "And look at what it says right here." And you look down and suddenly there's one of those nuggets I mentioned. You say, "Gee, how did I miss that all that time?" Our attention. We need to pay attention to what God's Word says. So he read in the street before the day, from morning until midday, and all of those people were attentive. Now, those names and all that I mentioned there in chapter 4 and also back up here in chapter 7, now, if I didn't pronounce them right, you pronounce them however you want to. That's okay with me. I did the best I could with them, all right? So, now, it also says Ezra opened a book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And guess what? Just like it is right now, isn't it? Didn't I tell you there was a lot of similarity to this? Here's a pulpit made out of wood. They made him a pulpit out of wood. He stood behind that pulpit, and he declared the Word of God. Now, how many of us would like to be in an assembly where they talked, where they sang, where they preached for that length of time? I remember a few years ago, I had the opportunity to go to an evangelism conference up around Atlanta. About a three-day event. Went up there, and there was something like 5,000 men. Now, women were not a part of this. This was men. Got up there, Mabel White Baptist Church. Got in there, and it lasted all day long. From early in the morning, right on through the day, right on into the afternoon. It'd be late at night when you got back to the motel to go to sleep. But that was some services. Man, when you get to hearing 5,000 men singing a song all at one time, I never knew men could sound so good. You know, it's just amazing. But all of these people, he stood up, he opened the book, and he read it. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And the people answered, Amen. Amen. Now, what does amen stand for? Preach it, brother. That's it. That's right. Tell us about it. And they agreed. They were in agreement. What they were hearing, because they had assembled themselves, because they had an appetite, because they were paying attention, and also, now that they were agreeing with it, they become aware of their situation. Now, sometimes people can be lost. They can be undone. They not know where they're going. And it really doesn't even matter to them. But here with Ezra, the people realized they had a need in their life. Now, when the law was read, they were pricked in their heart. They were moved. Their conscience was stirred. Now, those people, for that 70 years that they were in Babylonian captivity, they had forgotten their native language. Basically, they had forgotten what their original language sounded like. No doubt many of them couldn't even speak it anymore. And that's what the book that Ezra was reading from was written in. So they couldn't understand the wording of it. They couldn't understand it. That's why they had these other people who went out through the congregation and they were talking about it and they were giving the interpretation of what was being said. They were helping the people to understand it. And that guy that taught our Sunday school lesson this morning did a wonderful job. For all you Sunday school teachers, you're helping to teach the Word of God, giving the inspiration, the illustration, helping people to understand what God's Word says. So, all of this. So, they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now, sometimes we have problems. And I'll be the first to admit, there's things in here that I don't understand. I'd like to understand it from the front page to the last page. But there's a lot of material in here. Seems like the more I understand and read and study God's Word, then the more I understand, I don't know anything about it. You can never understand it all. Now, I mentioned a moment ago about my very first message was in May of 1979. That message came from Psalms chapter 1. And I studied and I studied and I studied. I knew Psalm chapter 1 forwards and backwards, upside down, sideways, you name it. I knew Psalm chapter 1. When I had the opportunity to present that message, I wanted to be just like Jonah now. If it hadn't been for my wife, I probably would have been another Jonah. But she told me, she said, no, God gave you a message and you have the opportunity now. At least go and present it and you'll know after that whether you're supposed to ever speak again or not. I said, well, after tonight, God's going to know he shouldn't have been calling me into the ministry anyway. So I finally decided I'd go and I would share that word. Well, gave that message that night, came down out of the pulpit and stood right there at the front bench, and I bowed my head in prayer. I said, "No, Lord, and I presented that word you laid on my heart. Now, if you ever want me to speak your word again, I want to know something. I want to hear something. I want to feel something. I want something to happen that I'll always be able to remember. You know, God, He is so perfect in His time, and in everything He does is right. It's good. And God's timing was absolutely perfect that afternoon. But if it had been just a few moments before, then I could always look back and say, now, God, I hadn't made that statement yet. And if you had waited a little bit too long, then I could have added to it. But God's timing and God's way were just perfect. I had no more said that. The words had just entered through my mind, and I heard an emotion from behind me, and I didn't know what was going on. But when I said amen, I opened my eyes, and my oldest child walked by me coming forward, accepting the Lord as Savior. I said, okay, Lord, that's something I'll never be able to forget. And I went to my knees, and I said, thank you, God. So, God shows us things. Now, I mentioned Psalm chapter 1 and how much I had studied that particular chapter and delivering that message and all. Sometime after that, Gene and I, we had an opportunity, went to a church. They were in revival. The speaker got up and he mentioned his sermon and all, and he said, Psalm chapter 1. I know what he's going to preach about. I know Psalm chapter 1. Well, you know, he got up there and he preached, and it wasn't nothing like what I had studied, and nothing I'd gotten out of it. I said, either that man was wrong or I was wrong, but his thought and my thought was not the same. Well, we went the next week to another church, to a different speaker. That man got up and he said, Psalm chapter 1. I said, man, this one will get it now. His message wasn't the same. I said, what's going on here? Third week in a row, went to revival. Different church again, different speaker again. He gets up, Psalms chapter 1. His message wasn't the same either. After that third time, I said, Lord, you got my attention. I'll never say that I understand fully, completely anything that the Word of God says anymore. I only know a little bit about God's Word. So the fourth week, we went to another church, to another revival, another speaker. He got up. It was not Psalm chapter 1. So I guess the Lord, he showed me, though. You said, that couldn't happen. It did happen. It did happen. Almighty God knows it happened. God works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. But He got my attention. God got the attention of the people here. When they heard the Word of God, their awareness. You look down in verse 9. All the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They were convicted. They wept. That's talking about me. Now, they didn't sit there and point a finger and say, Joe, I told you not to do that. It's Sally's fault. They didn't do that. The people wept. They held their head down, and tears began to flow down their cheeks because they knew God's Word was telling them where they had gone wrong. Now, back up just a little bit. You remember when I said these were the same people that had built the wall? These were the workers. Brother I.B., it's like the workers in the church. But when it says down here, in verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. These people, they did not have the joy that God wanted them to have. They had been rebellious. They were not where God wanted them to be. So when they heard the word of God, it pricked their heart. And they wept bitter tears. And they repented. Now, God loves a repentant heart. When we realize, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you help me? Then the Lord can give us that joy that He has in store for us. And it's not so much joy for me, but it's His joy to bless me. God wants to bless His people. God wants to bless me. He wants to bless Brother I.B. and Brother Joe and Brother Marshall and everybody else. God wants to bless his people. God wants to fill us with his joy. There are many times that the word joy comes out in Scripture. You remember David? When David sinned, that great sin with Bathsheba, Psalm chapter 51, then he says, "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation." Well, what is joy? Is it a happening? Is it just a feeling? Now, joy and happiness are not the same. You can be a happy people without having the joy that you should have. Now, these people, God knew they were working. They were workers. But their joy was not what it should be. So when David prayed that prayer, "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation," David was aware of the condition of his heart. You think over in the New Testament when, you know, when the angels came and they told the shepherds out in the field, he says, "Lo, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then there's other places where joy is mentioned, where it talks about the God of hope fill you with all joy in Romans, and also in Luke, and in other places in God's Word. You know, when it talked about the prodigal son that had left, now he had come home, it didn't mention joy in that particular phrase, but there's joy implied when that son comes back home. There's joy mentioned when the lady, the woman of the house, loses the coin. And then when she finds it, she invites all of her friends. Now, and God's Word says there's more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 just persons who do not need to repent. So God knows where we are. We may be doing a work for the Lord. We may be busy in God's church. But what I want to ask you, is your joy full? Do you have the joy of the Lord? Do you realize that's your strength? Now I said here, all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Understanding the word. We know the difference between right and wrong. Before we can really understand and appreciate the right of anything, we have to consider the wrong. We have to put wrong in its rightful place. Now these people, they were living a life. They were living day by day. They were going about normal activity. But God says, your joy is not full. They had left not only their homeland, they had not only forgotten or forsaken their native language, but worst of all, they had forsaken God. They were not where God wanted them to be. And God knew that those people were not where they wanted to be. So God calls out, and God wants us to come back to him. Even when Jesus Christ, the joy, you know, when it talks about the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he suffered the shame, and yet he did that because he loved us. Now, when you go over in chapter 12, flip over to Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Now, whatever happens here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, you want people to know about it. Amen? Now, when things take place, when this congregation is filled with joy and God's will is being done, churches and people in the community will hear about it. Even the noise, the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. I hear about even up at Bristol and Marshawn. I hear things going on at Pleasant Hill. You hear about things going on at other churches. And what you want people to hear are pleasant things. Amen? Amen. Ezra the scribe, Nehemiah, all of these people working together for the advancement of God's kingdom. But they were not where God wanted them to be. Something was lacking. Now, what may be lacking in our life today? Is your joy full? My joy can only be as full as I want it to be. It's just like a pitcher of water, a glass of water. Some people say, well, it's half empty, and others say it's half full. It's still only halfway. But Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. I want you to be in me. I want your joy to be full. So do you have full joy today? Are you where God wants you to be? Or when you hear God's word, the instruction given from it, do you just have to say, woe is me, for I am undone? That's what Isaiah said. May God help us. May God bless. We're going to have a song of invitation. Ask the song leader and the pianist to come. Brother I.B., you come forward. May God bless each and every one. And may our joy be all that God would have it to be. Okay? Let's stand and sing.
Page you got, Brother Orr?
309, page 309.